So I had this moment when COVID happened where I was like, really, like this again?
I'm MK Anderson, and this is First 100 Days. Podcast, where we discuss the idea that if the first 100 days of a presidency are so important, they're likely to be important for anybody else's career and life moves. We'll talk to CEOs, first-time parents, startup bros, and more to discover if the first 100 days are really that important. Today, we're chatting with Jessica Lau, who is a 2008 Notre Dame grad and currently a doctoral candidate of education at the University of Pennsylvania. After graduation, she worked for Deloitte and then eventually for an executive recruiting firm. And I'm excited to chat with her today about what it was like to graduate into the recession and its parallels to today. Well, thank you so much again for chatting with us today, Jess. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to connect and share anything I have that might be helpful.
Well, before we learn about like your specific experience, because obviously everyone's experience and life circumstances are different, would you mind just setting the scene and giving us a little bit of context into, you know, what year you graduated, what were, you know, your skills and your major, and what was it that you were looking to do post-grad?
Yeah, happy to share. I think context is so important, and it gives so much background into how I think and how I approach things. So I grew up in Kansas in a really small town. And I think it's important to know that my parents were immigrants and I'm first generation American. I grew up in a really small town where no one else had ever applied to something out of state. So even going to Notre Dame was quite the experience. I graduated in 08 with a double major in accounting and Chinese and immediately joined Deloitte, which was one of the big four. Spent about 4 years there before I dove into industry and then spent about 5 years doing executive recruiting. And now I'm a doctorate student in education. So I think the context there that's really important is I really navigated a lot of things because I didn't have a lot of guidance. Not that my parents weren't really supportive and helpful, but they never gone to college or navigated corporate America. So I've really built I really built my network and try to figure things out along the way. And I think I'm still figuring that out. I'm also Chinese American. I have two younger brothers. So the older sister syndrome comes out of it, I think, or the oldest child of take charge, get things done, and moving the path forward. I know you're also an older, you know, the oldest of three. So I know we bond a little bit over what that looks like in charting the course.
So the question I really wanted to ask is, you said you immediately jumped into Deloitte, which I found to be a very interesting verbiage there. So were you having the same sorts of struggles and troubles that people refer to when it comes to trying to find a job in the recession? I know so many people just opted to go to grad school because they couldn't find a job. What did that job process look like for you?
Well, I think it's slightly different when you graduate with an accounting major, which means that you're already pretty on the conservative side of things, right? In terms of like looking for a job. And the way that accounting works, well, first off, Deloitte is the number one hire, I think, of Notre Dame grads. I think there's a high percentage of Notre Dame grads that go to Deloitte. But accounting is also one where you have an internship the summer of your junior year with one of the big four or, you know, another company if you're interested in going the industry route or something more, a little bit smaller. But most people start their career with the big four if you're an accounting major. And so I didn't actually really like look for a job in a recession when I graduated because I interned with KPMG, which is another big four accounting firm, I actually took a slightly different path because most people intern with the same firm that then they accept an offer with. But I interned with KPMG in New York. And then when I decided that I wasn't going to work full time in New York upon graduating, I chose to re-interview with all the different firms because the office culture is so important. And I felt differed depending on which office you were choosing to land in. So I re-interviewed in the fall of 2007 and was lucky enough to get offers from a couple of different big four offices and ultimately chose Deloitte in Chicago. So the recession hadn't quite really like hit. And the other thing is with, you know, big four in accounting, it's a pretty stable industry in terms of the way that they recruit and how many numbers and individuals they hire. The thing about the recession that really impacted me was right after I started in the fall of 2008, that Deloitte laid off a number of individuals. They didn't lay off anyone they had just hired because we were, you know, new employees, but they did lay off second years, which was the class right above me. And I had a couple of friends I knew from Notre Dame that were personally impacted by that. But the recruiting process for getting into Deloitte was pretty standard. And I don't think the recession had really hit yet when I was being recruited in 2007, at least from an accounting major perspective for me. Because I was going into the standard big four public accounting.
So then how did seeing all of those people get laid off affect how you showed up in the workplace and maybe your risk factor in terms of your career trajectory?
Oh, it definitely factored in a lot. I remember the day that it happened, to be honest. I was on Northwestern University's audit at that time, so I needed to commute there out of Chicago, and I got into work, and a couple of my colleagues on my team weren't showing up. And I remember I didn't realize what was happening, I think because when you're a new grad, you and you're new in the workplace, you're just kind of worried about yourself and getting, you know, getting things that are assigned to you done. And you have this like not put down your head and like not think, but I was so focused on just what work I needed to get done, figuring out what it means to adult, like buy toilet paper, live with a roommate, cook myself meals. And so I remember walking into the audit room and a couple of my colleagues, one of who was a fellow friend, and they didn't show up. And I kept asking my senior at that time, hey, what happened? You know, is everything okay with so-and-so, I don't want to share their names here. And she was just like, well, you know, I think there's some things happening, but I'm not quite sure. We'll probably know more. Because Deloitte really wanted to talk to the individuals directly before they really started telling the entire company. So I remember reacting in a way of like, oh my gosh, you know, once I heard the news, like, wow, like that really hit home in terms of knowing someone that was laid off, my friend. But Deloitte also did this really great thing where the partners are really invested in the employees and they had a lot of connections in terms of who, you know, we work with large corporations and we audit companies. And so they reached out to a number of the companies asking if they needed help in certain areas. And they connected the individuals that were laid off to the opportunities that might be a good fit with them. But it definitely affected how I thought about taking risks. There wasn't a lot of opportunities to leave. And it also, the first year that I joined Deloitte, because I took the CPA, you get a bonus for passing your CPA. So all my entire first year, I was actually paid more than my second year at Deloitte because they obviously, after doing layoffs, they weren't going to do any raises. And they gave everyone that was a first year associate a $1,000 raise because a second wave associates were coming in and there needed to be some sort of separation I think I'm probably more unpacking it now as we're living through another really transformational time in the economy and in terms of uncertainty, but it probably impacted me in terms of thinking about what other things I could do for the next several years. But I think I definitely didn't take a lot of risk. I think I was honestly just navigating even what adulting looked like. There's such a transition from graduating in such a tight-knit, close community, and then moving into a big city. I didn't grow up here, and a lot of my friends at Notre Dame weren't business majors. So a lot of my friends were either theology or arts and letters majors, and either they didn't have jobs or they were volunteering or they were applying to law school. And so I don't think the recession impacted me so much in terms of like thinking I can't go do things, but I felt a lot of guilt for going into the corporate world and not using my gifts in a way that were more tangibly for like the social good. So I don't know if I would have actually left and gone to do something else, because I felt such a sense of responsibility of the fact that my parents had paid so much for my education that I needed to really like support myself and contribute back. That was probably more a factor of like me not leaving to go just do something different than really the recession. But I did have a lot of thoughts about like, wow, my friends are off, you know, in the Peace Corps, or they're teaching, they're doing the ACE program, or they're doing Teach for America. And I'm sitting here in this corporate world auditing this cash balance to make sure it's accurate. Like, what am I actually doing for the world?
I would love to chat with someone who was from the arts and letters world and was probably going through that experience of, oh my God, my opportunities are Peace Corps and volunteering and, you know, pros and cons to every situation. And probably now it sounds like such a pro into your life having to have potentially traveled the world and everything. But it is really interesting to hear that you were almost longing for that situation when I'm sure on the flip side, you know, folks that probably couldn't find a job were longing for that stability, even if it wasn't, you know, exciting or, like you said, using your gifts in the world. Something I wanted to ask was, how different or similar does it feel to be in this moment after having lived in 2008 recession? Because in 2008, it seems like, now I was a lot younger, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but it almost seemed sneaky in a way. Like, yes, there was a big moment of, oh my gosh, but it wasn't so in your face like this is right now, where it's, you know, COVID hits and boom, economy, you know, falls to the ground in a way.
Yeah. I think during that time, we were always joking in the audit room that stock was on sale. I don't think I ever looked at it as like we weren't going to come out of it. And I was luckily enough in a profession where I felt pretty stable in my job. Deloitte's huge. And I knew that the skills I was learning there were transferable. I think now, you know, I had a moment where when COVID happened and things kind of shut off and there was so much uncertainty in the air where I was pretty angry. I'm going to be very open. Because when I graduated in the recession and then realizing that your salaries were pretty depressed for a couple of years, I would say for the first like 3 to 4 years of my career, like we were definitely underpaid while we also had a lot of debt from student loans. And then to, you know, yes, the economy was climbing, but that doesn't necessarily mean that where you were in your career, you were earning any of that, getting any of that increase in a sense, right? Unless you were in the stock market, and then you were getting the increase of the share price and the economy climbing. But it doesn't necessarily mean that your salary increased with the economy unless you made certain moves. And so I had this moment when COVID happened where I was like, really, like this again? And I think that comes from a very privileged place because I'm not worried about my health. My short-term finances are fine. I'm not worried about where, you know, if I'm going to be able to buy my groceries, but thinking about the long-term effects of what has happened to the millennial generation or mine, I do remember being, you know, like, wow, like this kind of sucks. And I shared a little bit about how I'm in a doctorate program right now, which my doctorate program is full-time, but I'm able to actually work. I just chose to take a bit of a break. And I was just about to start looking for a job right when COVID hit and everything got shut down. So I'm very much living that experience right now. But it also gives me a lot of hope because I've been able to actually connect with people, network, talk about, and see job openings during this time. So it's been nice to have that pause. I think what I would emphasize to people who are looking for jobs right now, it actually helps give you some clarity on what you want or what's not worth it. Because I've had a few friends who are in full-time jobs and they're just realizing how unhappy they are in it and it's not worth it. So they've actually chosen to take that offer of a, you know, of not the layoff.
Like the volunteered severance packages and stuff.
Yeah, they are taking those and using it as an opportunity to really figure out what they want to do and what they want to put into the world from a career standpoint. So, I found a lot of people are looking at it from like, what's a job and what's a career and what's worth it for me.
What are some of the parallels then? You said that, you know, you had this feeling of like, oh my gosh, not again. So what are some of the parallels that you're seeing from, you know, the 2008 time to now in terms of how people are reacting?
I think it's really hard to actually draw parallels between then and now because we are also operating in a And not only is the economy uncertain and people think that there is going to be a recession that's happening, but we're also worried about our health. So there's an added layer of anxiety, I think, between now and then. I would also say the recession in 2008, it was hard to find jobs, I think, and people took what they could, and it seemed suppressed from what corporations were willing to spend. When I was in Deloitte and we were auditing companies, there were a couple of companies that went bankrupt, not because they didn't have the cash flow, but because they actually couldn't refinance their debt from a large financial institution because the debt markets weren't open. So from that standpoint, companies really just weren't spending money. And right now, I think companies aren't necessarily not spending money, but they just they don't know what's going to happen. So they're not really willing to hire. But you can actually tell a lot about a company based on what they're willing to do right now. And some of the companies that know they can't just stop everything are using it as an opportunity to actually hire better talent and reinvest. I will say that I see a lot of corporations laying people off, and I actually think that companies are using it as an opportunity to get rid of some of get rid of is not a great term to say, but
to restructure the way that they function.
Yeah,
as a company.
Yep. And they haven't been healthy for a long time, and they're using this kind of as an excuse and an opportunity to do it. And I don't think that's a very great way to do it, but I think that's different than what happened with the recession in 2008. So I also think that there are companies who are using it as an opportunity to pause and think about like how they can hire really good talent or what they need to get out of this. I also think, you know, all the economists and the media is talking about it in a different way too. Like, people expect it to bounce back. So if you're following the stock market, until last week, it had climbed back to where it was at the beginning of this year. And then it recorrected itself. But it's still higher than what it was when COVID just started. So I think the stock market is expecting it to just, all of a sudden a vaccine appears and then we're back to normal. And I'm not sure that that's accurate, but we also don't have a lot to go off of right now.
So then what would you say is the approach that people should be taking coming out of college these days, or not even college, but any sort of career journey? Because for so long, people mentioned, you know, do what you love and do what excites you. But at the same time, you referenced, you know, having a very stable career, and that didn't, you know, it obviously wasn't very fulfilling. I feel like you've kind of touched on the fact that you had a lot of struggles with being in corporate world, but it still did provide you some stability. Do you think that's something that we're going to see from people now, is that people are going to be going back to this idea of pick a stable career, pick a stable job versus, you know, do something you're passionate about and enter the creative world?
I think I can only speak from like my experience, and I don't know what others are thinking or will do. I mean, I think what COVID has done is honestly emphasized everything. So if you're strong in an area, it's emphasized that. If you're weak in something, it's emphasized that. If there's disruption somewhere, or if there's dysfunction somewhere, it's like really magnified that too. So I would say that it just depends on your situation and where you are, right? If COVID caused a lot of issues in terms of your health, where your security comes from in terms of a paycheck, it might push you into being like, wow, I was really struggling as a freelance and working paycheck to paycheck, and then really worried about my health and where that paycheck is coming from. Maybe I need to think about doing something that brings in more steady of an income, versus someone else who's in a very stable job and COVID made them kind of realize life is too short. You know, I really want to be doing something that I'm passionate about, that I really believe in. So I'm going to take a pause. I can see it going both ways. I will say personally, for me, it has helped me realize a couple of different things. One, I really don't need that much money to survive. I think I shared with you in a separate conversation that I took an hourly job, essentially answering customer service tickets for $20 an hour. I don't think I've earned that since high school, but it was actually really nice in the sense of it helped me recalibrate how much money is important, or not even important, but how much money I need in order to live my current lifestyle, like paying rent, you know, buying groceries. And I realize it's not that much. So that was really kind of a nice reset in a way. And second, I think COVID has really made me really aware of what my values are and what's important to me. And when we were talking a little bit about, I didn't feel very fulfilled in my corporate America or my accounting job, it was more I felt like I had all these gifts that I wasn't sure I was using in the right way. And so I think my advice really is like, figure out what your values are and then try to live those values every single day. And you can live those values in whatever job it is. But really, really understand why you're taking a job and why you're shooting for a goal. I would say that this is a recent lesson that I learned, in the sense of I didn't realize how much of what I'd previously done was this idea of what I thought I should be doing. And I didn't really realize they were shoulds. And I remember this moment where I felt like everyone looked at me and goes, Jess, why are you so unhappy? Because I was, in the terms of the world, like very successful. I was in a really good job. I was making a really good salary. And my work-life balance was pretty good. I was able to go to yoga when I wanted to, see my friends socially when I wanted to, but I really wasn't happy. And I felt like I should be happy. So not only did I, other people think I was happy, and I felt like I should be happy, I piled on guilt. And it made me realize that it doesn't matter if everyone else thinks that you should be happy or you feel like you should be happy. You're not happy. So just admit that. And then you then have to do the work of kind of like tearing it down and rebuilding what makes you happy. But I felt like I spent so much time not really listening to myself, even in terms of what makes me happy, that I really had to spend time like rebuilding that muscle to listen to myself. So on the outside right now, people might look at me and be like, I can't believe you left, you know, this job and this, and now you're here again. But I'm like really happy. And I was probably even like happy doing the $20 per hour job, other than the fact that like I felt like there were a lot of things that I was not using of my talents. But it's helped to reset some of, you know, monetarily what's important and what things I really want to pursue and how I want to live my life.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best mindset we can all have during times of crisis and uncertainty is, you know, what is this time teaching us and what can we learn from this and how can we move forward? If there was anything that you would want to impart on people going through this journey, obviously yours is always going to be particular to your life and what you're looking for, but especially after having worked in executive recruiting, which again is a very different thing than just regular recruiting for a job, but obviously touches on some things. What would you say to folks who are going through this process of uncertainty in finding a job and maybe starting a job and even entering maybe a final year of education and thinking, oh my gosh, like what do I do now?
I would say really spend time getting to know yourself and know what are those things that make you who you are, and also what are those things that like really bring you back to who you are, because those things are what centers you and grounds you and helps you really make those decisions. The toughest part of I think making decisions in uncertainty is if you're also trying to figure out who you are in that process. So I would just recommend before you make any big changes, like really figure out who you want to be and what are those things that like always bring you back. Like a couple of those things for me is chopping veggies for some reason really brings me back to who I am. There's something about the physical nature of that. And when my brain is like going a mile a minute, I'm like, well, I know that this will bring me back. Or like yoga and meditation, just kind of like sitting in the moment. I think reflecting, keeping a journal and not really writing about the events of the day necessarily, but like write about how you feel and what it was that like might have made you happy or brought you joy during that day. And then in other moments, like go back and read that and see if there's a thread that's consistent. And you can always build those into your next stage of your career, or your next, the thing that you're going into. So I think it's really just pausing and being thoughtful and getting to know yourself.
Well, thank you so much again for chatting with us and, of course, imparting such awesome wisdom that I know almost all of us really do need to take, even in this world that sounds scary and crazy and terrible and horrific all at the same time, even though, you know, we know we're all going to get through it. So thank you so much again.
Yeah, there definitely will be. Life goes on, right? It's some of the low moments that help us really appreciate the highs.
Thanks for listening to this episode of First 100 Days. Original music by Dan Chmielinski, and feel free to tell your friends. Bye, y'all.